Right, Numbers, be in the book of Numbers this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house. Good to have Living Proof back with us. Good to have our guest with us today. Blessing to have them with us. And we'll be in Numbers chapter 13. And I'll begin reading in verses 1 through 3. This is a passage that I've been in before, and same title of a message I've preached before, but somewhat of a different workup throughout. But I trust the overall concept this morning to be a help to you today. I know it's been a help to me, and it's somewhat of an odd title, but we're going to look at it. Thermostats versus thermometers. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their father. Shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. Thank you, Lord, for those faithful folks that have come out this morning. Ask you to meet with us. Ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. And I trust, Lord, that it'll be a help to your people, not because I said it, but because you said it through me. And I just ask you to meet with us. And may everything that is said in this time as your word is open, that it be edifying to your people, and that it make you look good, that it bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heard a challenge a few years ago, had some thoughts from that message. So this morning we're going to build off of the question, are you a thermostat or a thermometer? We're going to look at two biblical examples from our text, and we'll have an example of some thermometers, and then we'll also have some examples of thermostats. You know, a thermometer, if you think about it, a thermometer gives the temperature. But a thermostat senses the temperature and then reacts accordingly. And I will say that we find ourselves being one or the other at most times, while still being the other some of the time. In Numbers 13, we see where the Lord commanded Moses to select 12 men from the congregation of the Israelites. Now, as we just read, when we see in verse 3, all these men were the heads of the children of Israel. So they were the leaders. So when we think about the spies here in this sense, we're looking at them as the leaders of these 12 tribes. And one per tribe, these 12 men were selected for the purposes of spying out the land. Their job was to go out and survey the land and to come back with the report. And that's what a thermometer does. It gathers a report. Now we see in verses 25 through 28 of Numbers 13, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, we're going to pause there because essentially you see what they're saying in verse 27. Essentially, they're saying, yes, Moses, there's good stuff in the land. We went there. We saw it. We observed it. There's good stuff in the land. And yes, it would be really nice. And yes, it would be really good. But nevertheless. Now, I got to say, or I got to ask, aren't you thankful for the neverthelesses of the world? They like to criticize once direction has been chosen. They're the first to notice when something is wrong, but they don't know how to take steps in order to fix it. They're the armchair quarterbacks of the world. They're great at telling you at times what you already know. The thermometer has an ability to lead in so much as hindsight as 20/20. They can't plan. They can't adapt to changes. This is a thermometer. Now, there was nothing wrong with them doing as God commanded them to do, obviously, for them to go out and to take a temperature of the land. But there's something wrong with not adapting and have a willingness to overcome obstacles, whatever those obstacles may be. A thermometer reveals the reading. And I hate to say it, but we have more thermometers today than we have thermostats. You see, a thermostat is sense the darkness and get closer to Christ to help brighten up the world a little more. A thermostat is sense the cold and to get closer to Christ to help warm up the world a little more. A thermostat is sense that the world is lost and dying and on its way to hell. And to go out and seek to win some for the Lord. I hope you see where we're going with this today, that we can't just talk about all that is wrong in the world and all that is wrong in our churches, but fail to react. See, God doesn't allow us to have the discernment that we do, the vision that we do, the recognition that we do to sit around and simply report about what's going on. It plagues our world and it plagues our churches. At times we see, we observe, we report, but we do nothing. While thermostats take the temperature of the room first and then puts a plan in place to adapt. They're the leaders. They're the visionaries. And the people you rely on to stay calm in crisis and to lead you to the next level. Thermostats are able to work past criticism and negativity and push forward even when the odds are against them. Thermostats exhibit spirit control and stability in the face of adversity. Now, in this story, who were the thermostats? It was Moses and Caleb. Now, also, we didn't necessarily thank God for the thermometers of the world, but we're thanking God for the thermostats of the world. Thank God for those who went to places when other men said no. And I've had some bad reporters at times come around me, and you know what? I can throw myself in there, too. I ask you, have you ever saw something or felt something or thought something, heard something, and knew that there was something that you could do or should do based off that report and then said, I can't? I know I have. That's you and I taking a report and turning the report into an evil one. Oftentimes, when the report hits our fears, hits our doubts, hits our uncertainties. Or how about this one? This is a big one. When the report hits our insecurities, the report becomes an evil report in our minds. I hear people all the time, believers who have great ideas, and they say, I can do that. To then allow the great idea to die at the hands of fear, doubt, uncertainty, insecurity by none other than an evil report that was created in their own minds by the assistance of the devil to hinder them from doing something for God. Moses and Caleb had to maintain the right mindset in the face of bad reporting. Let's look at an example of a thermostat. Look at verse 30. We see where Caleb says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You know, Caleb took the report, but he didn't allow the report to sway. Caleb said, they're strong, but let's go. I hear you, but let's go. They're mighty, but let's go. They are many, but let's go. You see, the spies went out and gathered the report, and what they saw probably scared them to death, we would say. The problem was too big for them. The problem would outnumber them. In their flesh, they would be stronger than them. And in many ways, we can say that about culture today. The world is darker and growing darker. And it looks like we can't do anything. And if we aren't careful, we'll be the spies. We'll gather the report and turn it into evil reporting. I'll give you a couple of examples today of true reporting versus evil reporting. Here's a true report. People in the community need saved. That's a true report. Here's an evil report. People need saved, but nobody's getting saved anymore. That's an evil report. That kind of reporting encourages and enables believers to avoid trying to reach their community for Christ. Here's a true report. People out in the community need to be in church. That's a true report. Here's an evil report. People out in the community need to be in church, but none of them want to come to church anymore. That kind of reporting encourages and enables believers to avoid inviting the community to church. See, one highlights the need, the true need. The other highlights a true need, then says the need is too great, there's nothing we can do about it. A thermostat delivers a report and provides that solution and is also willing to be the solution. Let me blow some minds here, but I'm as against sitting on the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means not sharing it in some of our churches as I am the places that outright deny the fundamentals of the faith. Both send people to hell. One's damnable heresy, the other is a damnable carelessness and apathy to the souls that are around them. So in my mind, damnable heresy and sitting on and squandering away evangelistic opportunities and disobedience to the Great Commission sends people to the same place, eternal damnation. And you know something else? Churches will follow thermostats. You can't have a church full of thermometers with a thermometer leading them and expect to make any difference in the land. And expect to possess the land. It doesn't work that way. For Emmanuel Baptist Church to take Jacksonville, Texas as a possession for God, it'll take a group of thermostats being led by a thermostat. Thermostats don't like to spend time with thermometers because it's almost always counterproductive for them. I've said it many a time. There are some people, even preachers, that I don't spend a lot of time with. Because I'll tell them what we're trying to do to reach the community. And then what they're contributing to the conversation is that the community don't want it. Just like, well. Yeah, there are a lot of people out there that don't want to hear truth. That is true. But there are also a lot of people that will, if they're told. Again, I know a lot of thermometers, many of them preachers. All they want to do is report what the devil is doing in the world, the drugs, the murders, the abortions, and all they want to do is talk about what's wrong in our churches. They report. And to be as good of a reporter as some of them are, you got to spend a considerable amount of time gathering the report. And the time spent gathering the report robs you of doing something about it. The focus is different. A thermometer has warped focus. The thermometer is staring at the climate, reporting the climate, which means that the thermometer has to always be completely immersed in the climate to get an accurate reading, as where the thermostat is reactive. The thermometer makes everything harder than it needs to be. The thermometers hold others back through perhaps negativity or second guessing, overthinking, wasted dialogue, at times tragically in our churches, silly, never ending meetings, while thermostats are reacting to what needs done. For a thermostat, it's all about learning, adjusting, and driving ahead. A thermostat seeks to change the climate. We looked at what the thermostat Caleb said in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You know, there's a good order here in verse 30. If the people weren't stilled, they weren't going to listen to anything else. Sometimes when somebody's all wound up, they need stilled before you say anything else. They need calm down before you say anything else, because if they ain't stilled, if they ain't calm, they're not going to hear nothing from you. Caleb spoke up and stilled the people. And you know, this is what good leaders do. They come in, they speak up, they settle the people, they calm the nerves, it delivers what needs to be said, reveals the direction from God. Caleb said, I like this part too, at once. That means right now. Now I tell you, when I think about the children of Israel and I think about them being camped out in the wilderness, and I think about to that degree that I could possibly relate with them being out in the field and the Marines and camping here, and we don't know what the plan is. They don't tell us that. They just tell us when to move. They don't tell us what the next step is, or the third step, or the fourth or the fifth step. They don't tell you all that. They just give you the very next one. All we know, we're camping here today, and then all of a sudden they say, you know what? Pack up, we're moving. Just like that. And you, I cannot think about the children of it. And picture yourself. Things are calm until they're not. You've got some familiarity, even if it's a tree. You've been looking at that tree for 3 days. It sounds silly, but you've grown somewhat attached. Maybe it's the sun, the heat, the Marines, I don't know. But you've grown attached to that tree over the last few days. Then you come in and says, move. So as crazy as that is, we don't like change a whole lot. Now I got to look at a different terrain. I got to sleep somewhere different now. Caleb said, at once, right now, let's go. That means right now. He's in essence saying, you stated your report. We know what the situation looks like. Now let's go. But the thermometers, they weren't done. You know, thermometers aren't usually one and done. They'll keep at their reporting. See in verses 31 through 33, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So you see that it was an evil report. And I tell y'all this morning, and it's as true for you as it is for me, if I'm immersed in culture at the spout of evil reports and just taking it all in, it changes my perspective. I become afraid. I may think the world's too far gone. I may think the community's too far gone. I may think a loved one's too far gone. I may become hopeless in revival. I may have a small view of God up next to the mountain of civilization. But you know, we got to guard our thermostat status. I want to see just enough to react. I want to see what the Lord reveals to me. Then I want to react according to His will. So what did the thermostats accomplish in this story? Well, the thermostats listened to the thermometers just enough to react. Essentially, it was, I hear you. I've heard your report. Here's what's going on. I get it. But let's go. And they did go. But something else happened in this story. Some in the story were rewarded, and others were punished. In Numbers 14, verses 36 through 37, and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. You know, the Lord works differently at times in our churches, though at times He works very similar. Sometimes the Lord can lead people away from the church for a a lack of moving forward. Sometimes there's a purging that takes place. But the Lord has a way to move His church forward. Those thermometers, they reported evil. Now we see it more today than perhaps we have at other times, where reports always have some form of narrative to it. I like to listen to fact-based news, not news that is overly this side or overly that side. I like to know what the facts are. I like to know what happened. I don't want anybody's spin on it. I want to come up to my own conclusion through the discernment of the Holy Spirit as to what it is, and don't want nobody telling me how to think. Now, these thermometers, they're a case in point going all the way back, here to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, of reporters with an agenda. Reporters that put their spin on it to try and sway people instead of just giving them the facts. These thermometers, they reported evil. They said, here's what it is. Here's the truth of the matter. But they went further with it. They said, we can't do it. Their tongues were members of iniquity. They used their words to infiltrate the whole camp. They sowed discord. They caused their leaders a lot of heartache. And they slandered the Lord. You know, if the Lord says you can do something, and you turn around and tell God you can't, and we've all done it. We've all done it. Even prophets in the Bible. Not so, Lord. Peter. Wasn't a prophet, he was an apostle. Not so, Lord. Moses, I can't talk. I can't talk right. You want me to do that? I can't talk right. And the same can be said at times, even in our churches. When folks take their worries, concerns, and frets and differences to the whole camp, you got to be careful. You know, you never know what the devil would do with your word. And in some ways, I believe the Lord still works this way. I've heard countless stories of men and women who were in good health until they caused a church split. Afterwards, they dropped dead. Sickness, cancers took their life. You know, at times, even in the Old Testament, it's a reminder not to mess with God, not to mess with His man, and don't mess with His house. And I tell you what, not only should we be afraid, the church collectively should be afraid of that, the man of God should be afraid of that. I should be afraid to mess with me in such a way that the Lord can no longer use me. God's judgment could fall on me for what I do as quickly as His judgment could fall upon you for doing something to me. And on the flip side, God rewarded that thermostat named Caleb. In Numbers 14, verse 22 through 24, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. What's that other spirit? It's the opposite of the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of rebellion. He had another spirit. He had a different spirit with him. And it followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So not only Caleb, but his seed. We see it throughout the Bible where God has blessed seed, and God is cursed seed. And you can see it today, even amongst the world and Christianity today. You can tell that there are families out there that their seed has just been blessed. And then there are some out there that you can just tell God's judgments on their whole families because of sin in the camp. And it has been a generational thing. You know, Caleb and the others, they did conquer the land. And you know something else? This is a great portrait of love here also. The children of Israel, they whined, like us, complain at every turn. At nearly every turn, they wanted to go back to the land of Egypt for one reason or another. They thought slavery was better because at least they were fed there and at least they had water there and at least they knew from day to day what was going to be happening in their lives. I've heard of addicts say that at times in the past too. Freedom is so new and freedom is so unfamiliar. At least when they were on drugs, they knew what to expect. And nearly every turn, they wanted to go back to the land of Egypt for one reason or another. At times, they doubted their leadership much of the time and time again. They doubted God time and time again. And in today's day and age, 100 pastors would have came through and left them. Children of Israel would have had more pastors today than any other people. But they had thermostats, and they had thermostats that loved them. When God wanted to destroy them, they went into intercessory prayer on their behalf time and time again. Moses even went so far as to say, if you have to blot my name out of the book that is written, spare these people. They were thermostats that loved the people. And it was by their faithfulness to God that the people reached what was better for them in the long run. There's not a doubt in my mind that there are perhaps folks in here that there's something better for you in the long run. Don't get tripped up on today. Don't fail today when the Lord's trying to get you to what's better for you in the long run. But we do that. It's been said it took one night to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Israel just messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up. And you know what? If we're honest, and there was a season in my life, I was my own worst enemy. I was in my own way. Some places we stay longer than what the Lord would have us to stay there because we hadn't learned what we were supposed to learn in the place that He has us in the time that He's had us there. The sooner we learn it, the sooner we move on. If you don't like the state of your life, what it is right now, then learn what it is that the Lord has for you to learn, and then you can get out of that situation. You can move on further into something else now. They reached a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a great land, a land gifted to them by God, but not all made it in. We at Emmanuel are going somewhere. I believe it with all my heart. We'll follow God with who we have. We'll be faithful with who we have. And I pray it's everybody here today. Yes. We'll be thermostats with who we have. Yeah. And I ask you today, will you commit to being a thermostat? Sense culture and react. Sense cold hearts and react. Sense the climate and react. But I invite you, don't just sit around reporting about it or reporting it to the congregation. We got to move forward and be the change that we want to see. We can't be bitter complaining about the bitterness of the world. We can't be angry complaining about the anger out in the world or frustrated complaining about the frustration out in the world or the hatred. Christians at times can be as hateful as anybody else. But that shouldn't be said of us. We should be the example. Again, when we go places, the world should know that we're different. The world should know that. all the mainstream problems today that is found in society. And yeah, the world highlights the problems. They do recognize the problems, the division that we have between people, depending on where they were born or where they came from or how much money they have or what they look like. The world highlights the problem. They see the problem. They just don't know how to fix it. But had we done things God's way from the get-go, we don't have all the division that we have today out in the world. And as the Word says, judgment must first begin in the house of God. And if God's house gets right, the world's been put on notice. The whole world's been put on notice if the bride gets right, if the Lord's house gets right. So we got to be the change that we want to see. And I believe the Lord will use us, and I believe He'll bless us. If we have the right heart, we got pure motives. It's not to make a name for ourselves. It's not to have the largest church in town. We just want to be used of the Lord. We want to have the right heart. We want to have pure motives. And I believe the Lord's going to use us. Lord, as we come before You,